Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias, detalles en Lowe's.com.
In a podcast by Low Moon and More Podcast, this is Palace Pages. This is the youngest group and the youngest group of Low Moon and More. So Low Moon is a campaign that's been going on, coming up on 35 years. In fact, we have our retreat coming up where all present and past members of the campaign get together and participate in one grand adventure, perhaps a world saving or something universe affecting, or perhaps something very small that they just all get brought together for in the same place. We'll see. Don't want to give anything away on that. But Palace Pages is the youngest group, having been running for less than a year in the same Lomunian universe. And they are also the youngest players, being 8 and 10 years old. And so you're going to hear from Selena and also Dan, both elven pages in the Lomunian palace. So enjoy this excerpt of the adventures of Palace Pages.
Where are we?
Okay, so like once last day. We broke, I'm about to explain it to you. Once last we broke, you had just returned from the marketplace. A late night journey, and you made it back.
With
a little time to spare because you took the carriage back. Okay. And remember, you met the woman who sold you apples and you kind of made a contact with her, and she said that sometimes she has produce that she could bring to the palace and sell you if you wanted to buy them, right?
Yes.
And at the end of the session, I think you gave her a knife, right?
I gave her a knife, and I think I gave... what's his name? He went to the copper tubing place with me.
It's one of them.
Will.
Yeah, yeah. So Will, you and Will have become pretty good friends.
I think I gave one to... because I had four knives. I gave one to her and Will.
Did
and then
you
I
sell one to Will, though? Did you give it to him or did you sell it? You sold it to her, too.
I sold it to Will and Ariana.
Yeah, okay.
But it was cheap.
Yeah, you sold it cheaper than what you paid for it.
That was
okay. So anyway, you got back in time at the end of your recreation time, and then it was time to get to bed, and then you have to be at the front, at the door of your room at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
In case someone comes by and you do whatever, right? And so by the time you get back, it's, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and so you're winding down, and you had a long, hard day. You traveled all over the palace. So you remember that your hallway has the doors down on one side, and it has the window slits down the other side, and then it has tapestries that are next to each window, okay? And so, middle of the night, probably 3, 4 a.m., you're sound asleep in your beds, and you begin to hear the sounds of rolls of thunder in the distance. And you realize it must be storming outside.
But it's not, probably.
Play the storm sounds once I find them, because that was apparently just
man, it must be really stormy.
I know, Dan.
Oh, we're in bed.
Yeah, you're in bed in separate rooms.
I was saying that to myself.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, it was enough that it woke both of you up. You also notice it's a little cooler than it has been the last few nights in your room. And you have your blankets, but there's no fireplace or warmth actually in the room. It's an interior room, so there's the hallway outside and then the wall.
It's very small.
Not right on that, but it's cool in here. And you can smell moisture in the air. Like, the room seems damp.
I was just going to get out of my bed and
Okay. It is the middle of the night, but there's nothing like against the rules. You can get up if you choose to.
I get out and go see what's. I just peek in the hallway real quick.
Okay. So you look out in the hallway for surprise.
Hold up. I probably should have kept the face out, huh?
So you are surprised on a 1 or a 2 on a d6. So you roll a dice.
It's 4.
Okay. So you're not surprised. You didn't have any kind of weapon or anything like that when you look out, or you're just looking, right?
I'm just looking.
Are you in your bed clothes?
Yes.
Okay. So you open the door in your bed clothes.
I just peek my head out.
Okay. And you see the hallway, left or right, is dimly lit. Oof. And then right straight across from your room, you see a man in the hallway, and you don't recognize him. He's probably in his late teens, early 20s, and he's pretty physically fit. He's wearing a tabard. The tabard is whipped around in the wind in the hallway.
So someone in the palace?
Yep, inside the palace, yep. And the windows beyond, it's dark, obviously, because it's nighttime, and you don't see the moon or stars or anything like that. When you open the door, he turns and looks at you.
Oh, no.
he does put his hand on his sword, and he looks like he's, you know, he was startled by your presence.
Bother through the door, but I don't.
Okay. Looking down the hallway to the left, which you see out of the corner of your eye at first, you see another couple of men matching a similar description. Okay, now I've got it. Okay.
You.
What the heck?
What?
No, I'm screaming. You're like, oh, that. I'm not screaming. Yeah, I don't really care.
Okay. Anyway, so looking down the hallway, you see a couple of other men, and you can see that they are moving the big, heavy tapestries. They're like this, but about another foot wider, and they're made of really heavy cloth. And they're moving them over to hang them above the window. So they have a long stick that's about 12, 15 feet tall, and they're grabbing the top of the tapestry, and they're moving it from the hook that it's on over onto the hook above the
window.
So the tapestry will hang over the window and stop a lot of the really heavily blowing wind that's coming through the windows.
Okay.
The guy that is in front of you doesn't have one of the big long poles on him or with him or whatever, and then all of a sudden you see William come running from down the hallway to the right, and he is carrying one of those poles. He meets the guy out in front of you, and then the guy says to you, "Get dressed and give us a hand."
Me? Yeah,
yes, you. Quickly now.
Okay, I shut the door.
Okay.
What's going on?
Roll 3d6 versus your wisdom to see if you heard the conversation.
What is going on? Why do we have to get out of bed so early? Now the storm's going to blow down the windows.
I presume this is what you're thinking, basically?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I am getting dressed, but I do put on my book bag and I have my pocket knife on me. Yes, I do.
Pocket knife.
I have the folding one.
So, the D6, is that this one? Is this my D6?
Yes. Yeah.
Square. Jason, you're not going to be in here and then put me on your phone.
He's all right.
Run.
He's not required to participate at the moment.
I vote a run, and my wisdom is 16.
Okay.
So you heard it?
No, you're supposed to roll 3D6, not 1D6. You have to roll it 3 times and add them together. But it sounds like you're going to make it.
1 + 2 = 5.
All right, yeah, so you made it by a mile.
Oh,
all right, so you heard him say your freezer pump bonus.
6, 7. Oh, yeah, my freezer pump.
Anyway, you heard him say,
"Get dressed.
Get dressed and come help." And then you heard Dan say back, "Who, me?" And the guy said, "Yes." And then you heard Dan's door shut on his room. You know that he's awake, and you know that he is trying to help them do something, but you don't know what.
You get out of bed and bring
out the window. What are you going to do?
if anything.
I'm out of bed, literally, in the middle of the night.
I'm going to decide to ask if I can help.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm supposed to do what I think is right. I think that's what's right.
Right. And you're going to help me.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you, you're going to go out in your bed clothes? Or are you going to get dressed first, or what?
I'm going to get dressed first. Because we need
bed clothes. Okay. So you, you jump up, get dressed. Both of you roll a d20 versus your dex to see who is dressed first and ready to go out the door.
This one?
D20 is the big one.
This one.
Yeah.
This one. 12. And what?
I got 11.
And what is my... Wait, what am I supposed to do it with?
Versus dex. So look at your dexterity.
13.
Your second number. You made it.
16.
You made it. Okay. So both of you made it. So Ariana made it by a little bit more. So Selena opens the door first. And you look out in the hallway, and you see that there's another page whose name you don't know, who's also out there.
Wait, Caleb. Well. I thought it was Will. Isn't
Will's out there, but there's another one that has joined as well that you don't recognize. So you see Will and the guy that I described before are using a long pole. And then you see another page who has arrived with another one of the long poles, but he's by himself, and he's just standing there. He hasn't started doing anything yet. And while you're observing what's going on outside,
I open my door.
Dan opens his door.
I walk out in the hallway.
Okay, and he strolls rapidly out. You shut the door behind you, I presume?
No, but I forgot to.
Okay, so he grabs up the door behind him. Did you shut your door behind you?
Yeah.
Okay. So you step out, shut the door. He steps out, does not shut his door. And you realize there is now a page who has one of the long poles, but he's not doing anything. He's just standing there.
But I realized I didn't shut my door, so I went back.
Okay, so now you're going back to shut your door?
I run back.
Okay. The man looks at you, the one that I previously described. Could be a knight, maybe. He's definitely very physical looking.
Why did he get surprised when I just look at him? Because I opened my door.
Because he wasn't expecting it.
That's true.
Okay. Anyway, he says to Selena... Help him. Go down. Start down a few banners and start moving them in front of the window.
Yes, sir.
This storm is going to be going on the rest of the night and into tomorrow, it looks like. You can
already
see there are puddles on the floor of water that was coming in through the window and quite a bit. Like, you hear splashing, splash, splash as you walk.
So now I'm like, that's why.
Okay.
I basically speed walk over to go. All
right. So
what
then,
do I do?
That's a good question. What do you do? So you've got down the hallway, there are teams that are moving banners. There's that guy and one page is moving banners. Then there's another page that she's just going over to potentially help him. They realize that it's a pretty big job to move these 20-foot tall banners over there. It might be more than a one-person or two-person job.
I run over to Selena.
Remember, you're young. You're 12.
I go over to Selena.
How old are you? How old are you?
Age. I'm... 155, 115.
But it's the equivalent of 12, right? Yes. Okay, yeah, so it's like 12. All right, so, yeah, so the three of you then are going to use the big long pole. And so, yeah, he basically, he's having trouble swaying the pole into place to grab the rope. She steps up and helps him, and the two of them get it, but then they're not strong enough by themselves to lift the rope. Remember, this banner is about 2 inches thick, 40 inches wide, and 20 feet tall.
But I'm running, and all I hear is snip, snip, snip.
Yeah, so you hear the splash, splash of the water as you go over there, right? So then you're going to get in there, and the three of you kind of work it out so you can work a teamwork, and you get the pole, and you push up on the rope, and you pull it out away from the wall, and then it falls back to the wall with the rope unhooked, and then you just kind of push it along the wall. It goes along the wall, but it's pretty quiet. And then you're going to put on the next hook, okay? So... you need to roll Ben Bars Lift Gates,
which is a percentile dice roll.
What's that?
So you roll your 2d10 in order. So this one and this one.
Aren't we not supposed to see your rolls?
Don't worry about my rolls. You worry about your rolls. Roll your dice.
So you need this one and...
I'm rolling for the guy that's helping me.
I'm rolling for you guys. Okay, so roll around. I got a 30... and a 1, so 31.
Okay. And your chance is
7%. 72.
And, okay. And what is your Ben Bars Lift Gate roll? It's on the last number under strength.
4.
Okay. So, yeah, that is a measure of how easily you could bend a 1-inch thick bar of steel.
Oh, that's okay. Pretty easy for me. I have a 7%.
It would not normally bend easily. So, and if it's only half an inch thick, then you double that number, and a 1/4-inch thick, you quadruple it.
Okay.
So you'd have a 28% chance of bending a 1/4-inch, which is like that steel bar.
Nice.
Which really isn't great, but it's more than a lot of people, obviously.
Okay.
So between the three of you, and it takes a lot of effort, you manage to get it moved over, and then now you have to get it on the hook, and you've got a 20-foot tall pole, and moving it over. So now lift everybody up. Needs to make a dex check. Roll a
d20.
D20. Equal or less than your dex. I guess that's garbage. I'm pretty sure.
What did you do?
It's stuck. It is sticky after all.
4.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customized coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Okay, he's doing, the guy that you don't know is doing pretty well. Dan is doing well.
She hasn't rolled yet.
And we're waiting on Selena's dice roll.
I dropped it. I got a chip.
Just be listening
okay.
In.
He's alright. You definitely should keep an ear in this direction. You can be on your phone, but listen. All right. Anyway, so you manage to get it hung there, and then you have to kind of wiggle a little bit and pull the hook out, and so that window is covered. And then you look down the hallway, and you see about 3 down the hallway, another window is covered, and there's the next 2 are empty, and then there's like 12 windows beyond that that are still empty. And looking to the left, you can see they've got about half of them covered, and the teams are working through window by window, so you got to go to the next window.
And then in the morning we have to take it off.
No, it's cool in there. Like the hallway is at below 50 degrees. So you can see your breath.
That's I have my heavy. I don't have my heavy coat. I have a jacket, small jacket on.
Does he own a jacket?
No.
Yeah. So you have a cloak or not. So those are your options. You have your long sleeve shirt, and then you have a cloak or not. Your choice.
A cloak.
Okay. All right. And so then you move to the next one. Roll bend bars, lift gates again.
Ugh. Leave the TV cards.
And Dan is doing well.
I got 73. Selena's
doing well.
No, that's 13.
Do you need out, Jason?
You're not going to listen to me?
He needs out.
Well, I'm just going to get a drink.
Okay. What did you roll on your dice, Ariana?
I didn't roll yet. A 6 and a 9.
66.
Okay.
No. Yeah,
66. Okay. Between the three of you, you get the banner up off the hook, and...
It falls.
And then the hook is back against the wall, but in the process, Selena got bumped by the bottom of the pole on the inside of her knee. So you're going to take 0 to 1 points of damage. So if it's 1 to 3, it'll be 0. If it's 4, 5, or 6, it'll be 1. It is 0. Okay. So you just got a bruise. It's sore, but it's nothing that's going to stop you from
doing our job.
What happens if I got 1?
Then you would have 1 less hit points. How many hit points do you have?
It's on the back. No, wait. Yeah, no.
It's in the middle and the front.
We both have 2.
Right. So when you go to 0, you pass out. So if you had taken 1, that would have been half your hit points. If you go to 0, you're unconscious. Or in and out of consciousness. And at -1, you're unconscious and not waking up.
Sure did.
And at -10, you die. Well, you've got plenty of room between there and death, but you could be unconscious if you take too much damage. And the guy that's with
Bruce
you, the guy that's with you saw it hit your knee and he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. Are you okay?"
Yeah, I'm fine. Probably just gonna need a bruise, but that's all.
Okay, be careful.
These poles are heavy.
Yeah. But, with the banner on there, this thing's got to weigh 200 pounds.
I know.
man, and we have to do a lot of window stuff.
Okay.
Wait, so we're talking to the other
Dex
page.
Dex check. This is the other page that's helping you, yeah, that you have not yet met. Had not yet met.
I asked, what's your name?
Alexius.
Alexius.
What's yours?
I'm Dan.
I'm Selena.
Nice to meet you both.
Yep, you too.
Now let's see if we can get this thing over there.
Yep.
Okay, roll a d20 dex check.
The dex check this dice.
3.
Yep.
I got a 3.
I got a 17.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Remember, I'm rolling for you as well. So you don't know which roll was used, yours or mine. Okay, so you get the banner over there and you're lipping it. However, there's a flash of lightning outside just before you cover the window. And you can see out the window, you see the rose garden trellises. You see the roses blowing in the wind. And you see the rain, sheets of rain, torrents of rain coming down. But in the flash of lightning, it's very bright. And so even though there's a lot of rain, you can see the rose garden.
Oh, I love this.
Ariana, roll 3d6, please.
What about me? Is
that,
nope.
Is that
this?
No, that's a d20.
D6. You gotta roll that 3 times.
4, 2, 5.
Wait, what were your numbers?
4, 2, and 5.
4, 2.
Zooming out with each other.
I'm gonna add these together.
Great, thank you.
He's adding 4, 2, and 5 together.
11.
Yep. Okay. And what did you roll? Oh, that was the roll. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So as you're putting the banner in place over the window, Selena is looking outside in the rose garden just a second before the banner blocks the window and then you lose sight of it. And you see in the flash of lightning, someone is in the rose garden. And what you see, it looks like a large white horse. Like a war horse.
The princess's horse.
But you see, there's a woman and riding that horse.
But Caleb, you don't know that.
Okay, wow.
Stop talking. I'm talking. Okay. When the universe talks, the players don't. Okay. Anyway, riding the war horse, bareback, so there's no saddle. This is what Selena sees. And you see the mane of the horse whipping around in the wind. You see a beautiful red-headed woman, and she has like flowing red hair, and it's kind of big, but it's matted down now some because it's rain. But she, it would normally probably be like cover her shoulders hair. And she's wearing armor that looks like it's probably chainmail. It's like links of armor. And the most important thing is the horse has a horn.
Yep. A unicorn horn.
Yep. And then the banner goes over the window, and you lost sight of her.
You tell us?
What, if anything, do you do?
Do you tell us what you saw?
No.
You keep it a secret?
Okay.
Yep.
So you can't see her anymore because the banner is over the window now. But if you push the banner out, you could look and possibly see her. But you're probably not going to be able to see her unless the lightning flashes again.
Well, I want to see if I can look.
Okay, so the two of you move on to go to try to do the next banner, and you realize that Selena
stayed. No, I don't move on yet, because I was, like, telling, I actually asked, Selena, are you coming?
Well, you wouldn't know she's not coming until she doesn't come.
I know.
She didn't tell you she wasn't coming.
Oh.
So the two of you are holding the 20-foot tall pole, so.
Yeah, the two of us are.
All right. So you stay for a second. Halfway to the window, you realize she didn't come.
Selena, are you coming?
And you guys are struggling a little bit more with the pole than you were
can
before.
Help us.
Okay. Are you looking out the window again?
Yes, I'm still looking.
Okay. Push the banner away and try to look out.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to roll dice. Roll a d6. If you roll the same number as me or on either side of me, then as you look out the window, there will be a flash of lightning and you'll be able to see if she's still there or not. Okay.
So roll.
Roll a d6. No, I got a 6, so you need a 5.
She got a 4.
Okay, so when you look, it's pitch black and rainy outside, and you can't tell if anyone's in the rose garden or not. Then he says, are you coming? And you can linger there for a few more seconds and try to look again, and wait and see if the lightning flashes, or
I'm gonna
you can
go.
Look
just about 2-3 seconds.
Okay, so you linger there a little bit longer, hoping. All right, roll again.
Oh, geez.
I got a 2.
1.
Okay. So as you're looking, you linger for a few more seconds. The lightning flashes.
Whoa.
And you see the woman is dismounting the unicorn in the rose garden.
Wait, so we actually get unicorns in this game?
There are unicorns in this game. Whether you get them or not is debatable. Very few people ever get unicorns.
I doubt it.
But you have heard of them in legend. You've seen them in books, things like that. But
we just, if she just saw them in real life.
Right. Okay. Anyway.
Can I have a pencil? Thank you.
I
want one.
You see the woman, she lays the reins of the horse down, or the unicorn down, and then she heads toward the palace, and you think, because the lightning is only for an instant, right? So it looks like she's heading toward the palace, and then you think she left the unicorn sitting there.
Some actual food.
Yay, actual
food. Thank you!
That's better than sweets.
And thank a crackle.
Yeah! Thank you, Dad.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, babe. If you want a second one, Ariana, I have a second one.
Mm-mm.
I just didn't know if you would eat two.
Not normally.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. I'm okay right now, thanks. Okay, so anyway, it looked like she was heading for the palace and leaving the unicorn standing alone in the rose garden. But then it went dark again. And they're now struggling with this pole, and it doesn't look like they'll be able to get the next banner without one more person. Or somebody stronger. So what do you do?
I'll go over and help them now. But
okay.
I do not tell them about the unicorn.
Okay. Now realize, all the windows face the rose garden. So the next window is open at the moment. Which means it's possible that you could see more as you're doing it.
So can I try? I'm still focusing, but I'm leaning over a tiny bit.
I'm looking out the window too.
Yes, I'll give you a plus one on the dice. All right. So both of you roll percentile dice to see if you can manage the pole. Your helper is doing a good job.
That's
the D10s right in order.
I got a 92.
And Dan is not doing a very good job of helping this time around.
Nah!
Let's see if I can look and do a good job of helping. Because no. You can't look at the
looking
window.
Like you better.
I'm looking at the window.
So 8
and 2.
I'm just
okay.
To the
so, the three of you struggle together for the better part of a minute to get the rope off the hook, and you can't get it. It's not, and your arms are burning because you have to push the pole up the whole time. And so the guy that's with you, Alexius, he stops and he goes, okay, hold on, take a break. And he's not holding the poles. So you guys let the pole sit against the wall for a minute?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you set the pole against the wall and he's holding his arms oh, jeez. And you hear the guy that you first saw, they're doing the last one in their part, and he looks over you and he says, what's wrong? And Alexius says, just having a bit of trouble, sir.
Yeah. But we're going to get back to work.
You're going to have to bulk up if you're ever going to want to be a knight.
I'm not even that
hard. Alexius says under his breath, he says, it's the priesthood for me, I think.
Oh, do I see out the window?
Okay, yeah. So during that time, you could be looking out the window.
Do I be?
And you have longer.
Out the window.
You have longer to look. Okay.
Can't
so
look out the window just because I.
You can, especially if you are.
I see.
Remember that he's staying there. You're staying there. If you're looking out the window, he can see you looking out the window. He can look to see what you're looking at. People do that all the time.
Okay.
All right. So. You're looking for longer this time, so I'm going to give you a better chance. So we're going to use the D8. Looks like this. D8.
This one, right?
But I'll give you two rolls. And if either one of those times it comes up, you don't have to roll. I'm just going to roll. This is where the lightning goes off while you're looking.
Okay? Oh.
And then if it does, then you'll have a chance to roll to see if you see something. Roll a D8. Ariana, I got a 1.
1.
Okay. So the lightning goes off while you guys are looking.
Okay.
Now you can roll 3D6 versus your wisdom.
So... a 6? I have to write the downs or I'm not going to be able to do the math. 6, 2, and 5.
And your wisdom is what?
13.
I think that's what you rolled.
12, 13. Exactly 13. Okay. Man, I tied with my wisdom.
So you look at the same spot. So you don't. Oh, no, that's not good.
Oh.
Wipe it off as best you can. Well, you could have still ate the meat, probably. It'll come out.
It'll come out. In the wire, Joshua. Washer.
I ain't gonna come off right now. It'll come out the washer. Okay. Anyways, you're looking at the same spot, and indeed, both of you see the unicorn standing there by itself.
Whoa.
In the pouring down rain. The wind is not really blowing its mane around much because it's soaked.
That's the unicorn out the window.
What? Alexia says he steps up and walks out the window.
I really quickly lean over to say that as close as I can and tell him, don't let anybody else know.
He says, I don't see it.
There was a unicorn out there.
No, there was not. No, there was not.
He frowns at you.
Yeah, there was. I'm trying to get him, but I want to tell
him. Okay. It got dark again right away, so. Alright. Both of you roll a
d20? D20. I got a 13.
I got a 11.
Man, I'm getting 13s today.
What is your wisdom again?
16.
Okay.
I got exactly mine.
So both of you here, down the hallway, remember down the hallway is that big main room where during the day, like, people are crossing in every direction and everything like that. And
school.
On the other side of that is the door that leads outside. And if you went out that door and went around to the left, it would be the Rose Garden. Would be where the unicorn is. But you hear a commotion in that big room out there. Some guards, some harsh language, like guards ordering each other around, that kind of thing. And then you hear a woman's voice say, and it kind of sounds hollow because it's a big room coming down the hallways, that kind of thing. And she says, I must see the king immediately.
What? What's going on?
I whispered to Caleb, I saw that unicorn, I think, belongs to that woman that's speaking right now, and I think she's the princess. That's what I tell you.
Possibly, but...
Check out Amal Dan Inc. for incredible opportunities to support the ministry.
You hear one of the guards there say, "It doesn't work that way. The king is indisposed."
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It usually means unavailable. Like, he's not able to be...
Because he's the princess, isn't he?
Possibly, apparently we don't know that.
And she didn't say, I need to see my father. She said, I need to see the king. So, probably not the princess.
I doubt it.
So, that she must not be.
She says, I have an urgent message.
Oh. Oh. That's not good if there's an urgent. Something's got to be going up either at the tower or about the storm.
Are you whispering that to me? He's telling me wrong. Oh my gosh.
Apparently he's not very secretive.
I don't want to. There's no point about saying.
So you want knights and people to know we know what's happening. So why are you saying it out loud?
I'm not saying it loud.
One of the guards steps in the hallway looking down toward where you guys are. Now mind you, two of you, Alexius, William, and two other pages, right? But they're all working. They're all in some part of moving the tapestries over the windows.
We're not in the.
But the three of you are not working at the moment.
Yes.
And one of the guards says, "I need a page immediately."
I'll do it.
Me and Caleb both raise our hands. Me and Dan both raise our hands.
And I assume take off that way because it's like
the easy
way. Okay, you take off running. One of the guys that's closer tries to volunteer, but then you just like run by him. So. He doesn't get to volunteer.
School. All the weird.
Caleb really wants to do that night. It's for a night.
All we hear is squish.
Yeah, there's water in the hallway. Okay, so you arrive there, and he says, "Take a message
Okay.
To Lord Baenor.
Who's that?
He is near the...
That's the king for mommy, too.
Lord Baenor is not the king. Lord Baenor is a knight in the palace. And one of high standing. Okay, anyway, he says he is in charge of the king's security in his private chambers and tell him that a woman has come claiming to have an urgent message and ask Lord Baenor what he wants us to do. Go now!
Okay, let's go.
I'm stuck, I can see us when I start rocking.
Okay. Selena drags you along in the correct direction.
What's the message? So we had to let the king guard know that...
Let the king's guard know that there is an urgent message for the king.
Okay.
And... see whether or not the king wants to do something about it, or what the king wants them to do. All right. Now, as you are in that room, you see the woman clearly.
She is beautiful. She is very physical. Like she looks like a warrior, but she's beautiful in the face. She has little freckles under her eyes. She's redheaded. Her hair is wet. Her cloak is back down off of her head, and you can see that her bushy red hair is matted down with rain. He does have chainmail. She does have chainmail.
Why does she have chainmail?
And she has a bow on her back and
an archer
and arrows in a quiver.
No, I was supposed to kill
2 dozen arrows.
That was scared that I'm a unicorn that was on me. Why look at me? So good out there, they ran off the unicorn.
Okay.
I
wonder why. And so the two of you are rushing to near the king's chambers.
I wonder why she would be.
You're stopped by a guard in the hallway. Halt! Who goes there?
We're palace cages and we have a message for the king.
You're palace cages.
Cages!
He says, well, I would never want to interfere with a cage during his duty.
No, we can go
no further. These are the king's private chambers.
We have a message for...
Lord Baenor.
Lord Baenor.
Stay here for a moment.
Okay. I don't know how to
put this. He looks back down the hallway. And he says, Hoo! Ray!
Oh!
And you see a warrior sticking his head around the corner. Huh?
Hello?
These two palace cages, I mean pages, say they have a message for Lord Baenor.
Against those
that may concern the king. Send them on.
Hey! We walk.
All right, go as far as the corner. Walk!
All right. Walking. All
right. All right. He looks at his friend and says he's in a palace cage. It's pretty funny.
In a palace cage.
Did you actually say that?
Yeah, it's a palace page.
They both chuckle. Okay. All right. So you go down the hallway to the corner. The knight or warrior guard, whatever he is, stops you. He is in chainmail as well. He has a conical helm, a spear, a shield. And he looks very physically fit. He's probably in his late teens, early 20s. And you see that he has another person who was with him, but that person has gone off down the hallway and is looking in a room and saying something. You can't hear what he's saying. And then he comes back out. And when he comes back out, you see a man follow him back out. Now, this guy looks like he's probably in his late 40s. He's big. He looks the part of a big, grizzled warrior.
Oh.
And he's wearing field plate armor, which is heavy steel armor. If he had a full helm, his face would be completely covered, but he does not. He has bushy salt and pepper, which means black and gray eyebrows. He has a bit of a goatee and small mustache, but otherwise he's clean shaven. He wears a long sword on his hip and he's pressing down on the pommel so that it doesn't drag on the floor as he walks, because it's long enough that it would be further than to the floor. Okay. He's wearing a cloak and he gives the idea of, you know, like he's intimidating. He's a big, strong, veteran warrior, probably Lord Baenor, you think, from the sound of it. Two young men in their late teens come out the room behind him, and they follow him forward. Okay, you guys can't be talking to each other right this second.
I know.
Okay. All right, because you see him coming, so you're standing there quietly waiting for him to come. All right. He strolls very rapidly down the hallway. You hear the hard boots on the stone of the floor. You do realize here that all the floors and walls are made of white marble with silver striations, and it's quite beautiful. Okay. There's a banner on the left side that has a light blue field and a single gold full moon in the middle of it.
Cool.
He strolls forward and stops in front of you. You see that he has a dagger on his chest, strapped to his chest, and he has the long sword, and he does not have a shield. He also has a pair of metal gauntlets tucked in his belt. He says, I am Lord Baenor. Deliver your message.
There's this woman who has an...
Excuse me. Don't you have a tongue?
Yes.
Deliver your message.
There's a woman who has an urgent message for the king. We want to know if the king would like to hear it.
That is not the normal way of doing things. Describe this woman to me. Enough. Describe this woman to me.
She has chainmail armor, and she has like a bow and arrows, and she just rode up on a white horse.
How old is she?
What?
How old does she look?
Like
late teens.
Late teens.
What color is her hair?
Red.
Bushy and long?
Yes. But soaked.
He looks at one of the young men. Sounds like the Lady Charlotte.
Lady Charlotte? I've never heard that name before.
And she comes with an urgent message for the king. I will go and hear this message myself. Fall in behind my men.
Okay.
Follow us in case I need you.
Okay. We'll
keep your mouth shut. Unless spoken to. Okay. He strolls boldly off down the hall. The two of you have difficulty keeping up with him. His strides are long, and he's even in his heavy armor, he's walking boldly forward. And so you kind of like now and then have to skip a little bit to catch up with the kids in front of it, with the guys in front of you, which he has the two teenagers, and which are probably squires, you think, behind him. You do notice that they both have daggers on their belts and leather armor. So they are not unequipped, just not very heavily equipped. All right? You down the hallway and turn, and then turn again and back out into the main room. He strolls out. You see a couple of other knights have gathered in the room, but the woman is being detained by two knights and a half dozen guards in the middle of the large room.
Wait,
you can still hear this held back, basically. You can still hear rain falling in the distance and the wind, and all throughout the palace efforts are being made to move the banners over the windows to block out the cold air. But there is a good bit of breeze blowing through this big room, okay? Also, realize it's before 5 a.m.
Yeah, we're literally up at night.
Yep, this is the middle of the night. Okay. So Lord Baenor strolls out to meet her, and he says, Lady Charlotte, I presume. Indeed, my lord. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
I take this few step back, because I don't want to be right there.
I walk. What you notice, one of the young men in front of you looks at you as you step back. And he takes note of the fact that you're backing up. Okay. And you're standing in the middle of the room, and so 10 feet behind Lord Baenor puts you under the watchful eye of a half dozen knights and probably 40 guards.
We're being watched?
Yep.
This is not what I want to do in the middle of the night.
Okay.
All right. I'm
gonna cry. Roll a d20.
D20.
Yeah. What did I do?
That doesn't count. 20.
Okay. So, nice. So it is at that moment, as you're standing there, and you've just backed up, and he looked at you, and you realize that everyone's staring at you from all across the room, total of about 50 people total, right? It is at that moment that you realize that your pants are improperly laced.
What does that mean?
So it's the equivalent of having your fly partly open. Because they don't have zippers, so they lace back and forth like your shoes do. And so you've mislaced your pants, and you realize that two of the holes on the left side don't have the loop through it, so it's kind of open a little bit. It's not exposing anything, but it makes it look like you don't know how to dress yourself.
I don't know how to dress myself.
Okay, so you pull your cloak shut? Okay, so that's a good call.
Roll
a d20 to see if you notice that he noticed his fly not properly shut and then pulled his cloak shut.
D20.
You see
nothing.
20.
No, so you did not notice at all. Right, so you don't. Other than maybe he closed his cloak, so you're thinking it just could be cold. And it is cold in here. Like, you can't see your breath in this room, but it's probably 50 degrees and breezy. Okay. All right. So Lord Baenor says, you may deliver your message to me, and I will determine whether or not it is appropriate to go to the king.
Oh.
Charlotte says, I understand your concern. However, my message is of the utmost urgency and for the king's ears only. I am the trusted servant of the king. Oh. Do you insinuate that anything he might be told he would keep from me? She bows her head and says, Lord Baynor, forgive me, I mean you no insult. A man with honor such as yours could not be besmirched by a feeble servant such as me, I am sure, certain. However, my liege who gave me the mission to bring the message bade me only deliver it to the king himself. You will forgive me if I do not trust the king's safety to the likes of you.
What?
You could certainly be there unless the king dismisses you. Dismisses? I mean, I don't mean to use words that are out of place. I don't mean to...
Who's talking?
The lady is trying to justify herself to Lord Baynor. They're having a conversation back and forth. Gotta pay attention.
Can we go?
Okay. No, you cannot, because you were told to stay where you are. Okay.
In case you need.
I have heard of you as an insolent whelp. She says, I am sure the rumors do not do me justice, but I have heard of you as well, my lord, with far-reaching power and perhaps a lack of restraint.
Oh!
Woman, I will cut you down where you stand and the men will applaud. She says, I think not, my lord. What is this you say? I am not helpless. I am a woman and a warrior in my own right. My liege has charged me with delivering this message to your king. If you should manage to kill me, which I don't doubt that with all their help you certainly would succeed, you would only deny the king the message that I bring. And you would answer to him.
No. I don't say anything.
He seems to be contemplating. Very well, m'lady. You may take your message to the king, and we will go with you to ensure his safety.
Not us.
However,
oh.
You may not go into his presence equipped in any fashion.
You can't ever know.
How will I ensure that I am not equipped in any fashion?
He looks at you.
Go to the cloakroom. Fetch the woman an unused cloak.
Okay.
And also a pair of pants. He looks at her out of the corner of his eye. Men's pants. And soft shoes. Return forthwith. Go quickly now.
I go.
You stay, in case you are needed.
I don't know where to go.
Okay. Yeah, so you run back in the general direction you came from, and one of the guards there kind of guides you over to where to go. And
thank you.
He holds the door open. He seems to be waiting to make sure that you do the job correctly as well. Like he's looking at you to see what you get.
I do fix my pants, though.
Okay.
While I'm in there.
And she says... My lord, surely I may wear my own clothing.
Nope.
He says, you should get in dry clothes anyway. This storm will be the death of you. I am quite fond of the outdoors weather, even when it's boring.
You know what I would say?
The lightning is my friend.
I would be saying, like, my horse is out there.
Okay. All right, so you're gathering up the stuff.
Yeah.
Guard comes out. He checks what you have. Oh, yeah, check your... Yeah, okay, see, you stand in the cloakroom, he's looking up, and you release your pants real quick and get it right. Okay, then...
I grab the stuff.
Yeah, then you grab the stuff, and then you carry it out like this. And the guy checks to make sure what you have, and he says, okay, go. And then he closes the door for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about. In my mind, I'm like, I'm not supposed to talk to him, but I got the stuff.
Okay, and so you dash out across the floor with the clothes, and then... He makes a motion like this, and the knights that are in the room all move to the center of the room, and they form a ring around the woman.
Oh.
And then Lord Baynor looks at you, and he says, give the woman the clothes.
Thank you, clothes.
And she says, my lord, what is the meaning of this?
I don't know. Says,
you will strip and clad yourself in these clothes only, and then we will go to the king's chambers.
Why?
Your equipment will stay here. My men will make arrangements to get your clothing dry so that when you return, you will be able to go home in comfort. She looks at the men gathering around. You see they're all like getting ready to raise their cloaks to basically make a little room and block out so she cannot be seen while she's changing.
Yeah, but they can't see her.
Or they have to turn around. Yeah, probably gonna turn around. Yeah. So in a matter of moments, they turn around, they hold their cloaks up behind them out like this, and they make like it's an octagon because there's either like an eight-sided room. Inside there, you can tell from looking underneath, you can see that she's taking her clothes and her armor and stuff off, and then she puts the clothes on that you brought. She does not look the part of a regal woman in a pair of man's pants and a cloak, and she doesn't have a shirt. So she's wearing the cloak, and she has the soft shoes. And then as soon as she is done, they drop the cloaks so you can see her, and she basically... She's been humbled. She's not wearing her equipment. She doesn't have her armor. She doesn't have her weapons. She doesn't look the part of a regal. And she's actually pulled her hair back in a sort of a ponytail at that point because it was so sopping wet. It's already making the back of her cloak wet. And he says, "You will follow me." Oh. And she says, "As you wish, my lord. I am at your service." Ha! He says. He turns around and stomps off in the direction. She quickly hurries to catch up to him, so she's basically walking next to him, but back a half a step. The squire's falling behind her, and the squires direct the two of you to fall in behind them.
Okay.
What?
Come on.
Oh. Okay. We need to get back to our room.
I just stopped dragging
you.
No! No, I'm just dragging you with me.
So you go back down the hallway toward the king's chambers, and you go as far as that corner where Ray stopped you before. And both squires stop there with you, so all four of you are standing at the intersection.
The one squire leans against the wall and he puts his foot up against the wall,
and he's got his right hand on the pommel of his dagger and he crosses his arms. He says, "Not much sleep tonight, huh?" To the other squire. "No, not much. What time did you get up?" "About 2 when the storm started." "Yeah, me too."
We gotta get back to our room.
"You have to do any windows?" "No." There's time for the two of you to talk to each other, but they are clearly talking to each other. They're not talking to you.
I know, but I'm talking to
them. Okay.
So we need to get back to our room. No, we're supposed to be in bed. We're doing what we like.
Bail.
Lord, you know, he's telling us to do. You realize he's the king of night. Don't you want to be a knight? Left alone, how to stay up late.
No, yes, I know.
He was Lord, how to stay up late.
What about the person who told us to do something? The windows.
He saw us go to the night. He knows we're gonna be told to do something.
But we gotta get up at 6, and that's like in an hour.
Well, we'll pass pages. Work with it.
Not happy with this at all. Okay.
Too bad.
Okay. I wish we could.
At this point, they've ended their conversation, and they look at the two of you, and. The man who's standing with his foot on the wall says, "My name is Jell, Squire of Lord Baynor. What is your name?"
"Oh, my name."
"I was talking to you. I'll get you in a minute. What is your name?"
"Selena."
"You're that half elven, or are you elven?"
"Yes."
"Or half elven?"
"All elven."
"Page that came from the elven lands directly."
"Yes."
"We've heard rumors about you in the squire's rooms. Beautiful for your years."
"Thank you."
"Charming, inquisitive." "How old are you?"
12 in your years.
Actually, no. It says 110, so she would be...
About 12, 11, 12.
Right.
This is 12, huh? And you look the part. So you'd be, what, just over 100 in elven?
Yes.
"You were alive when my great, 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 great grandfather was born."
This is I'm not happy about this. I want to go back to my room.
This is Selena. "I will remember your name. I think the princess thinks you are bound for greatness."
I'll actually put the elf in my face, but that's what I'm thinking in my mind. I'm thinking.
So the princess apparently knows your name. That's something.
And she likes me.
He didn't say that. He likes your promise. He looks at you. What about you? Why a page, not a squire? I started squiring when I was 8.
I'm a palace page, and I came from Elvenland, too.
I see.
Straight from Elven.
Oh, you must be the half-elf, then.
No.
No, you're a full-blooded elf?
Yes.
As well?
Yes.
Interesting. 2 Elven pages in the palace at the same time. Has that ever happened before? The other guys seem to be kind of dozing off. I'm sorry, were you talking to me? I was, but never mind. Go back to sleep.
We don't laugh.
Forgive me if I'm not all that interested in palace pages.
Excuse me.
That's rude. They're standing right here.
Yeah, here we are.
He looks at you and says, oh, I hadn't noticed. And then he goes back to kind of nodding off.
We've been here the entire time.
Don't worry about him. He's been a squire for quite a while now, and I think he's a little bit full of himself. What's your name?
Van.
No,
pleasure to meet you. They call me Jell.
Jell? So
do you not intend to train as a warrior?
I want to be a knight, but I have to be standing in front of my door until I either get tell to do something, or breakfast, dinner, or lunch, I can leave. Or if I'm taking a message, or if a chore to do. And then the rest of it, I'm standing in front of my door.
I'm sure you will find a way to exhibit your quality of manhood, at which point you should be able to train with the squires.
Yeah.
Have you ever handled a sword?
No.
You could say you
can. How about a quarterstaff? No?
You could say club.
Usually start there anyway.
We did a club.
Good for reaction times and... Oh, you used a club.
We used a club to battle rats.
Oh, you used a club and fought rats. Well,
and a giant
Oh, that
snake.
Was you guys.
Yes.
Well, that's quite the coincidence. 300 palace pages. The only 2 elven pages in the palace, and the 2 of you wind up fighting rats.
And I fought a giant snake, and she saved somebody's life.
Wow. Well, I haven't heard all those stories, but if the princess has, that might explain her comment.
Apparently, somebody said we're going to be famous now.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the actual battle with the rats has the stories going around. I heard it. I just didn't know it pertained to you. The odds are slim. I mean,
we were there.
Less than a third of a percent of a chance that the 2 of you would have been there, I'd say.
It was us 2, the only 2 elves, 4 elves battling.
Yeah, that's something else. The guy who seems to be sleeping, he says, I saw him at the practice field. What?
What?
Are you awake? Yes, I'm not dreaming. I was saying I saw them at the practice field. You were at the practice field yesterday.
Yes,
we ran through the practice field.
Yes. Oh, just ran through.
We had to, because we had to deliver a message and then go back. But we had to do it as quick as possible. I'm pretty sure we had another message to take after that.
I hadn't thought about that, but you kind of get around all over the place, don't you?
We're all over this palace. Everybody's
so you
getting
might encounter,
us.
You might encounter useful information.
Everybody's, asking us.
They don't read the messages. They just deliver them.
No,
it's
we
against
don't.
The rules to read the messages.
We're not.
I know that. I didn't mean that kind of information. I mean, like, they might see things or hear somebody talking about something.
We've actually seen something outside.
So here's the deal. I'll make you a deal.
Okay.
You bring me any piece of useful information, no matter how obscure, and I'll pay you 1 silver piece. But if you have some piece of information and you both bring it to me, then you have to split the silver piece. But if it's just you and you bring me a piece of information, I'll give you 1 silver.
We do actually have something that we can tell you.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I'm interested.
You know that girl who's talking to the king now?
Yeah.
She rode up on a unicorn.
Really?
Yes,
rode
outside.
Up?
Yes.
It's outside in the rose garden.
We saw that.
They both seem interested.
We were putting up the
window things.
And we were taking a break because we were struggling a little bit, and we saw when the lightning flashed, there was a horse with a horn
and a
in the middle of the eel.
Amazing. What do you think? I mean, it's interesting.
What? He's not interested.
He's not interested.
All right. So Jell says, well, I'll tell you what. Then he reaches in his pouch. Hold on, I'm having trouble finding this little piece.
This is his pouch. This is his big old fat white plum pouch.
Okay. He says, here's a silver piece for each of you for that useful piece of information.
Yeah, I dropped it. I'm kidding.
He says, he looks at the other guy and says, you stay here and stay awake. You stay with him. You take me, show me the unicorn. If it's still there, I'll trade you a gold piece for those silver pieces.
Ooh. Okay.
All right.
I'll stay.
If Lord Baynor asks where I...
Check out the Prince Albert series, Lamunian Adventures, on Kindle Readers.
Gone, you can tell him. Okay. We've got this.
Would you like this?
Let's go.
Okay, let's go.
All right, so the two of you leave and go through the hallways back toward the rose garden. Meanwhile, Dan stays there with the sleepy squire.
Hey, I am talking to the squire real quick.
Yeah.
I want to be a knight. Is there any way I could do that? Because you're trying to keep him like...
Yeah.
I don't care what you want. I don't care about you at all.
Oh! You're going to tell the other one that he said that.
If you exhibit some physical prowess, I'm sure someone will take pity on you and train you to fight. As for me, I just do my job and keep my nose clean. I'd recommend you do the same.
But you're in big trouble now. You don't know who you're dealing with.
Stand there and stay alert. If anyone comes, wake me up.
I thought the other
Shut guy... up. Do what you're told.
Oh my. Okay.
Do you understand me?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, he puts his head back against the wall, and his eyes are closed. He may be sleeping.
Ugh.
Okay.
That's so rude.
Meanwhile, the two of you rush through the hallway, back out in the main room. There's still guards standing there. In fact, there are a couple of knights that have been posted standing near her equipment, but you see that her clothes are gone, probably to be warmed, as what Lord Baynor said was going to happen before. You cross through that room, out to the side door. He doesn't go to the main doors. He goes out the side door. And then... You're at the side door, he gets a couple of cloaks out of a closet and gives one to you. It's way too tall for you, so it's going to drag on the ground pretty bad unless you hold it up. But it looks like it's designed to keep the rain off, and you can hear the rain pouring outside.
So we gotta hang up then.
Yeah. He puts his cloak on as well, and the two of you open the door. When you open the door, the wind bursts through the hallway, and rain is flying in already, kind of stinging your face. And he says, Just so you know, I don't think unicorns eat people.
I know they don't.
I doubt it. They're not there.
We've heard that.
But if he's out there in the rain, he might not be happy. So don't approach unless there's a very good reason. I just want to see if he's there and how he got to be there, considering the gates have been closed for hours.
Well, he could have tried or used magic. I saw her dismounting the horse when I was walking.
So you say, and if what you say is true, I've already promised you to exchange that coin for gold. So let's go find out.
Wait, so he won't do it for me too?
Yeah, he will.
Oh.
He said he would. Okay, so you go out in the rain. I mean, it is pouring down rain. Your socks are wet almost immediately. Water is getting down inside the cloak, but you're not getting soaked, but it's getting down inside the cloak. You can feel it running down inside your clothes, that kind of thing. And it doesn't take long, just a few minutes, and the two of you find where the unicorn is indeed still standing in the rose garden. And you can see that he's you just see his rear end, and like you don't see that he is a unicorn at the moment because he's stuck his head down in amongst the roses, probably trying to get some protection from the rain, you think.
That's what unicorns do.
Okay, anyway, so you're looking at him down a row of trellises with roses on it for about 100 feet or so. And then he says, we're going to get closer. Stay behind me.
Okay.
All right. Okay. And so then you get down, and you're at about 40 feet, and the unicorn's head is still stuck down in the roses.
And then you step on a twig. Oh.
Okay. Oh. Meanwhile, in the hallway at the intersection where you're with the kind of creepy squire,
mean
not
guy.
Very nice. Yeah, the not very nice squire. You're fairly sure he's sleeping.
Okay.
But then you see down the distance, coming from some distance, probably like 100 feet away, you see a knight in armor coming this way.
Okay.
Okay. Are you going to wake up the squire? He said, if anyone comes, wake him up. But he wasn't very nice, so.
Who is it that's
gonna let him sleep?
I'm going to let him sleep until he asks me a question.
Until who asks you a question?
If the guy is coming on the hallway, he would stop. You know?
Okay. All right. So the guy walks down the hall. You can hear his footsteps. Okay. And just before the guy hits the intersection, the squire that you were, the not very nice squire, makes a little snorting noise, like snoring. Like he goes, like that. And the guy looks at you kind of knowingly. He's a knight. He's in plate armor. He's got a scar on the side of his face, short cut hair, no helmet, long sword on his hip. And then he looks at you, and he actually walks up to be standing like just a couple feet in front of you so that you feel intimidated and feel like small in his gaze. And the whole time the squire is sleeping.
I would
go to squire, though. Well, you wouldn't be able to now because he's kind of got between you and him, so unless you're just going to make a loud noise or whatever.
I make a loud noise.
Okay, clear your throat kind of noise. Uh-huh. Okay. So you do, and he wakes up, and you hear a start, like, and then he stands up. The knight spins around and looks at him, and mind you, he's a foot taller than him, so he's looking down at him, and he says, were you sleeping? And you're kind of like angling so you can see past the knight and see him, and you see he kind of rolls his eyes and he says, yes, my lord, I do believe I dozed off for a moment.
A moment?
And he says, I have been up all night having first hung windows and cleaned up water and then dealing with this affair of a messenger arriving in the middle of the night. I've been up since...
Hold up.
Before 2.
I see something. Hold up. You didn't tell the other squire you were doing windows.
Okay. The knight looks at you. And he looks at him, and he gives you an evil glare, like, oh, you're in for it. Not the squire does. He's like...
He's also been very mean.
Are you saying that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I want to, but I'm not gonna, okay. Or else I might die.
Right. He says, thank you for your integrity to you. And then he looks back at the squire and he says, come with me.
I'm not the squire.
And then he follows the knight away, but as he does, he looks back. And as he's looking at you, he makes a motion like this.
Oh, no.
Okay.
What am I supposed to do now?
Well, your last command was to stand at this intersection, and you're the only person here now, so.
You stay there.
I still have my knife on me.
You at least
got to
wait there for Selena. What's that?
I still have my knife on me.
Yep, I'm guarding this intersection with my little knife. Okay. Anyway, they leave. After about 5 minutes, another squire comes that you have not met yet, and
of course, and then you can tell him about the other guy.
And he says, evening.
What?
Morning? What is it? Morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Name's Fi.
Nice to see you. Good morning.
Fi.
Good morning.
Fi.
Yeah.
My name's Dan.
Nice to meet you. Are you a squire?
No, I'm a palace page.
Told to stay there.
I was told to stay
here. Oh, my tape. That's enough.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, he says, were you told to stay here and wait for any particular reason?
There was this one squire who came and was supposed to. He was supposed to be watching me.
But then
a knight came and took him away because he was not not nice.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was supposed to wait here for my friend Selena to come back.
All right, well, you're welcome to wait. I have to guard here now anyway, so we can wait together if you want.
Okay, I have somebody to at least talk to. That's nice.
Well, that's nice of you to say that I'm nice. I'm not sure that many others would agree with you, but anyway.
I'm really not supposed to be talking to any people above me. But
it's okay for you to talk to people above you if they talk to you first, and I did address you first, so.
That is true.
For the time that we are standing here guarding this fairly useless to guard intersection, you're welcome to talk to me as your equal. However, if a knight or someone of higher station comes, I'll ask you to then be respectful and hold your tongue.
Okay.
And I'll handle it. Okay. All right. Meanwhile, outside of the garden, the two of you creep up to the point where you're about 25 feet away from the unicorn. Okay. And you're just a few feet behind him because he did say stay behind him. Right. You notice that he has his hand on his dagger as he's approaching the unicorn.
What? If you kill it, you get...
It's unlikely that he's going to kill it. It's a dagger. It's probably more for comfort for him than anything else. All right. He says, I'm going to try to get its attention.
What?
If it attacks me, run for help. Don't try to stay.
What are you going to do? That's what I would say.
You understand?
Yes.
Very good. Mind you, as he's saying that, rain is beating on his face, dripping off his nose. Same with you. Here you're standing in a pouring down rain. Okay. And lightning is flashing now and then. Lightning flashes, and you can see that the unicorn is a little closer than you thought. It's only like 10 or 12 feet away. We thought it was more like 25 feet. And then the squire kind of like stiffens up, like he's surprised how close he is. And then the next flash of the lightning, roll a d6.
It's a
square.
That's a square. Scott.
Ooh,
I'm gonna run.
Okay. You are like stunned or surprised as the, where a moment ago the unicorn looked like it was about 10 feet away. Now it's like right in front of the squire and its head is right in front of his face. Like he's looking like,
hi.
So when the lightning goes off again, it was dark, couldn't hardly see. And the lightning goes off and he's right in front of him. And now he's so close you can see him even when it's dark.
I'm gonna back up.
And, you can't do that.
He does not appear surprised, but he also doesn't draw his dagger, and you realize that the unicorn has its horn pretty near his throat. Like he could probably slice his throat if he wanted to. And
hello, buddy.
He says, we can offer a roof over your head if you wish. It's raining very hard out. And the unicorn lowers his horn away from his head slightly, and you see the water drains down off his mane and rolls over top of his eye, and he doesn't blink, rolls over top of his eye, and then down off his face on the ground, and he is thoroughly soaked, obviously.
This is not fun.
Roll a d20.
It's a 21. 3.
Okay. You get the sense that the unicorn is agreeing that he needs to get in out of the rain, but for some reason he can't.
Because he's waiting for Biggie. His Anna.
Probably.
But, and you're over being surprised now, too. Although your heart was still beating.
CBGB. Oh.
Are you saying anything? Okay. This is, the squire says, what? What is it?
Actually, I do. After he says that, I decided to say something. I say, I think it probably wants to wait for its owner.
He looks, kind of looks in your direction. Can't really see if he looks directly at you. He turns his head real. Is that it? Are you waiting for your owner? And the unicorn swings his head back toward the man. And then he steps a little bit forward. As he does, he nudges past him. And then all of a sudden, the lightning goes off again. And when it does, you now see that he's in your face instead of in the man's face. So he covered that 3 foot of distance, but never really moved. And then he looks at you.
Okay, roll a d20.
I'm 12. I'm actually not scared right now. 12.
Okay. You sense he is saying, who are you?
Wait, she can speak to animals?
Maybe. So I say, hi, I'm Selena.
Okay.
Low Moon Adventures. It's deadly, it's role-playing, and yet, let's roll.
His eyes blink for the first time since you saw him.
Hello.
And he seems to, like, the water runs off his eyelid instead of across his eye. And you get the feeling that he is yearning for his master.
So you want your master, so. Oh. I've seen your master in there. Seems to be out soon.
She should be out soon.
Yeah.
Okay, he looks at off in the direction of the palace.
She's been speaking to the king for long. That must mean she'll be out very soon.
The squire is standing next to the horse now, and he moves kind of more next
to
you.
The unicorn.
Yeah, next to the body of the unicorn. And then he moves kind of more next to you and says, can you understand it?
I don't know. I just keep getting these feelings of what it's saying.
Well, if anybody might. I have a plan. Will you help me?
I guess so.
It's going to be crazy.
But
as long as it don't hurt the unicorn.
No, it won't. It's meant to help the unicorn. Okay. Come on.
What?
Tell it we'll be back. I mean, he says, we'll be back.
The unicorn's like, what?
Come on.
What does the unicorn say? Does he say anything?
No.
Okay. I'll be back in a sec. And then we walk away.
All right. Afterwards, you get like 10 steps away, look back in a flash of lightning, and you see that he put his head in the roses again.
All right.
So inside the palace, the squire gathers a half dozen, 10 palace pages, because he has the authority to do that, and they get four of the big poles that they were using to put the banners up, and they get a bunch of blankets and quickly tie them together. And then he says to them, we're going out in the rain. Everyone get a cloak.
We're going to make a tent for the unicorn.
You already have a cloak.
Yeah. We're going to make a tent for the unicorn.
You put your cloak back on because you had it off briefly while you're in there. All right. And then he says, everyone grab a pole. Grab those blankets.
I instantly grab a pole. I'm like, I really want to help this thing.
Okay. And so it takes some effort, but the 10, the now 12 of you haul the blankets and poles outside. And they're relatively easily are able to put the poles in the ground, but they sway the blankets up on top first, so it kind of makes a roof over top of the unicorn.
Yay! Okay.
And he pretty well ignores everybody doing it because his head's still in the roses and he doesn't do anything. But then once the blankets are up, he comes out and he raises his head and he looks up. And most of the rain is being stopped. Not all of it. And he's still getting rained on, but a lot of the worst of the rain is being stopped.
I say, is that better?
And they have to stand there and hold the poles, even though they're stuck in the ground because they're 20 feet tall. So.
But I say, is that better? To the unicorn?
He looks at you and he says,
I went on magical power.
Okay. The squire who arranged the whole thing comes back and he says, it's all we can do if you're not able to go inside.
I say, no, see... I think she thinks this is okay.
It's a... But okay.
I think he thinks this is okay.
All right. Two pages on each pole will change every 15 minutes. The rest of you can go inside now and warm up until it's your turn.
Oh, yay.
And they're like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that means you can go inside or you can stay out there with the
unicorn. I'm staying out, though, because I'm the one that can speak the unicorn. What if something happens?
Okay. And he says, are you staying?
Yes, I'm staying. I'm pretty sure I can speak to you.
I've got to get back to my post. I'll set up a rotation for them to come out and hold the poles, but then after that I'll have to go back.
Okay.
What do you want me to tell Dan?
I want to come out.
Should I send him out here? He can take a rotation holding the poles.
Yeah.
I got to find...
Send him a rotation, please.
I got to find eight more... No, I got to find four more... six more pages right now.
Is he gonna give us the gold?
Yeah.
I'm so happy that I can speak.
Not so much you could speak to him. You spoke common. It's more like you could understand him.
I want to do that. That'd be cool. But I don't care.
Too bad.
Okay. Alright, and so he goes back in. You stay out with the unicorn. Roll percentile dice.
You're looking for a low number.
Which one is it?
The two D10s, one in a row. Okay.
51.
So, probably 10, 15 minutes in, it's almost time for them to rotate, right? And you've been out there, and you've talked with the unicorn some, talked to it about, like, just calming it, telling it who you are, that kind of thing. He doesn't, you're not getting he's talking back, like he doesn't tell you his name or where he's from or anything, but he seems to be listening, okay? But then, at about the 10 to 15 minute mark when they're getting about ready to switch, which meanwhile, during that time, he does come back to you, and he tells you that the unicorn was located, and he says, give me the silver piece.
Oh. Did you tell him that? Yeah, I didn't tell.
Oh, by the way, if you're wondering where the other squire went, somebody came and took him because she was not being nice to me.
Okay. Thank you for telling me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's useful information.
I guess.
Wait, what's that?
For the useful information you just gave me.
Oh, yeah.
We have a deal, right?
Yes.
He looks at the other squire. We have a deal. I always keep my word. Yes, you do.
You know him?
I mean, in as much as he's a squire of another knight, I've met him before.
Ah, okay.
Perhaps we will be fast friends, but... Anyway, you're dismissed. You will need to be on duty.
Okay.
In fact, on my authority, you may tell Selena and the other squires who are in the garden now that they can start their duties today after breakfast. So you won't have to do your first shift.
Okay.
In the meantime, go join those squires and help them hold the poles. There is a unicorn in the garden and they are doing their best to keep the rain off of him.
Okay.
You'll have to take turns every 15 minutes in holding the poles until his rider is able
to
return.
I'm not in the location.
That's right.
I'm there
You're
to
under the tent.
Keep okay. the unicorn.
Oh, and
make sure nobody gets
can I trust
it.
You?
Yes.
To give this to Selena?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can tell her that she owes me a silver piece.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. You're dismissed.
Okay. I actually hurry up.
Right. As you're going, he says, Dan.
Yes.
My name is Joe.
Nice to meet you, Joe. All right. That's pretty sorry about it. Okay.
You're sure he was reminding you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you head off to the garden. Meanwhile, okay, so at the 10 to 15 minute mark when they're just getting about ready to
I walk out?
To, no, not yet. Anyway, the unicorn puts his head down next to yours, and you get an image, a flash of a far-off place, a sunny day, green fields, and there is a herd of unicorns of various ages, like, frolicking through the field. You don't think any of them are him, but they look like they could be family or whatever.
So I say, is that your home?
And then in the image, you see a large, dark shadow in the sky, and it passes over top of the unicorns, and the unicorns mostly scatter, but one larger group kind of does stay together. And then the image is gone.
So your home's getting attacked? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
This is unfair. That's cool.
He cranes his head and he closes his eyes and puts his head back slightly. And you get the impression that he's saying that everyone's home is under attack.
What? Even ours?
So I say, even we're under attack. I've got to let...
Okay. At this point, you're coming out with the next crew to help hold the poles. You are one of eight. squires.
Okay. William
actually is the squire on the pole with you.
Will?
Yeah.
I have an announcement real quick, guys. We do not have to start our first shift until after breakfast.
Here, they give a little cheer. Hey, yeah, that's awesome.
We still gotta stay out here.
And one guy says, but we have to stand in the rain.
Yeah, that's the downfall.
And the other guy says, but at least we don't have to stand in the rain and then go immediately to work.
Good point.
And then they go, yeah!
Okay.
He's one
of them. I was standing there with the unicorn, maybe dozed off, thinking about things that are happening.
I
do reach over and grab it.
I walk over to him. Did you hear the announcement? Mm-hmm. Hey, we don't have to go to work.
Yeah, so you're a little bit intimidated by the giant warhorse-sized unicorn. You can see that the tip of its horn is so razor sharp that you could probably slice through leather.
It's okay, the unicorn's friendly.
I want to pet it.
Okay, he comes over and lowers his head down and looks at you.
I
think he's asking who he is.
This is Dan.
He swings his head slowly over, looks at you, and he swings it back and looks at him. And he looks at you.
It's okay, he's a friend, he's my friend.
You think he's noticing the similarities.
Oh, we're both elven.
Yes, we are both elven. We're both from the elven lands.
Okay.
At this point,
so it's three rotations, and you basically hang out under the tent, and you have to hold the pole. After your 15 minutes of holding the pole, are you going to stay outside under the tent and just hang out instead of go back in? Most of them go back in. Will goes back in. They all do what they can. You're chilled to the bone. It's a cold rain, and you're soaked.
I do have my cloak, by the way.
I'm not focused on the rain. I'm more focused on what the unicorn just told me.
Yeah. Anyway, so after roughly 20 more minutes of that,
I asked Selena real quick, is it okay if we pet the unicorn? You would have asked the unicorn that, though.
He wants to pet you. Is that okay?
No.
He doesn't want to.
He skitters back a little bit.
It's okay. He knows.
Mind you, when he skitters back, the sound of his hoof on the ground is like, boom!
Oh.
He's very heavy. Big warhorse. He probably weighs about 2,000 pounds.
Oh.
Which is much bigger than a small car. He's heavier than a small car. Okay? Anyway, so a page comes out from the palace and says to everyone that's there, and kind of announces, Lady Charlotte is done with her meeting with the king, and we'll be returning to the garden shortly.
Okay. I'll stay here, though.
I'm going to stay out with the unicorn.
One of the guys holding the pole says, do you think we should just go in, then?
I'm going to stay out here, but you guys can. We can take the stuff back, probably.
Okay. I am not leaving.
All right.
I don't want to leave either.
Okay. So then a few minutes after that, Charlotte comes out from the palace. You notice that she has her clothes back on now, dressed normally again. And she comes briskly to the rose garden, going directly to the unicorn. And she seems a little bit surprised.
At this point, the stuff.
She has her hand on her short sword as she approaches the tent.
I said, look, it's your own. To the unicorn,
start taking the tent down.
The unicorn raises his horn, and as he does so, he disappears. You actually see him disappear from standing next to you and appear on the edge of the tent where Charlotte is just entering the tent.
It's magic!
Okay. And she reaches up and runs her hand kind of like lazily along the side of its head and down its neck. She walks past him to where the two of you are under the tent, and then the unicorn disappears from where it is and appears standing next to her, and then she puts her left hand down like on the top of its leg where it's really muscular. And she says, thank you for providing hospitality to my unicorn.
Yes.
Thank you all.
I say, do you know what she can say?
What do you mean?
Can you speak
up? She's in here. We're almost done.
Are
you done? I take it.
Basically,
can I
ride
with you, Nana?
Against the plastic band.
Oh, yeah. What I said, Dad, is do you know how to speak?
Hey, Nana.
Daddy, I'm trying to.
Nana, can I ride with you?
Do you know how to speak the unicorn's language? Like, do you know what she says?
Not really. I more get a thought.
Same. I've been getting a thought.
I feel like you guys have. I feel like.
Is there something?
Oh, that's right.
That I need to know?
Selena, I feel like you can.
I'm listening.
The one thing is, she sent me a vision telling me that we're getting attacked and so is her land.
Hmm. That is interesting. That's essentially what I came to tell the king.
Is it?
Apparently, he is more sensitive to the things that I know and haven't told him than I was aware. Don't worry about it. Some of the most powerful people on the planet are working on overcoming the problem. How many people participated in helping the unicorn?
Well, it seemed to be 12 through 15. We were rotating to make so the unicorn was
2, 4, 6, 8 on the poles. How many rotations did you have?
I think one.
We only rotated once.
So there are 8 others inside who were out here helping before?
There's actually 7, because I'm one of them, but I stayed out here.
Okay, so the 2 of you and 15 others.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gel. Don't forget Gel. It was his idea.
Well,
and Gel.
He was one helping. I didn't help in the rotation at all, because I was talking to Unicorn, making sure she was staying calm. Mm-hmm.
She did help in a way, though.
Okay, so she says, "You have my thanks." And she reaches into her pouch and pulls out a pile of coin. And she says, "You'll take this with you when you go in, right?"
Yes. Yes.
All right. And she gives every squire present a gold piece.
Yes, you have 2 gold.
Every palace page, I should say.
I have 2 gold.
Okay.
Yay.
And then they take the tent and they are headed in. And then the 2 of you linger for a moment. It starts to rain really heavily. And then on you again. And then she pulls the reins up like she's getting ready to leave, and the unicorn pulls away from her for a second, and then he sticks his head in the roses again, and he comes back out, and this time he's broke off a rose head with about 10 inches of stem on it, and he has it in his mouth, and he turns and he gives it to Selena.
Thank you.
She says, "I think he's sweet on you, but he's my unicorn."
I know.
She smiles. She grabs the reins, vaults up into the saddle, although there is no saddle, and then in an instant, they're gone.
I'm gonna get in the car and bring it to the dock door. Get all your stuff and come to the dock door.
I met a unicorn.
Nana, am I riding with you?
And that will end our session for the day. However, real quick, we're gonna do experience.
But I have to give this to Jeff.
You'll have to do it next time.
Or we can just cook around.
You'll have to remember. That's part of gaming.
I will remember.
You write a note on your character sheet if you need to.
I'll remember.
Okay. Anyway, experience first. Okay. So both of you got 6 experience.
Okay.
Plus you each get 2 for the 2 gold, so it's actually 8.
Experience is on the back?
Yep. So you got 8 experience. And then you need to make a wisdom check to see if you can add to it.
Plus 8. How much? Wait, what's
you
a wisdom?
You roll a d20 versus your wisdom.
14, my wisdom is 13.
Yep, so you missed. So you didn't add anything to it, you just got the 8.
And I'm fine with it.
Roll your d20 to see if you can add to your experience.
D20
low. Yep, you went under your wisdom.
12, and my wisdom 16.
Okay, so then you did add to it, so you added 1. So you got 9 instead of 8.
I'll have to.
Oh, we have to add our coins too.
Yeah, well, you got them in the pouch, so.
No,
until it gets to be too many to have in the pouch, then you'll have to definitely keep it on paper. Alrighty?
Yes, that's 2 gold pieces.
This concludes this episode of Palace Pages.
Bye.
I got to do a unicorn.
We got 2 gold pieces.